But that was then reinvented at least three times. It was reinvented by the British Post Office, somebody at the British Post Office. It was reinvented by Catamol at the, was Catamol now? I don't know. Anyhow, at the SDC, so the SDC, and reinvented at Bell Labs. And the Bell Labs people called it resonant transfer, which the name I can argue about is not really the too correct, it's not really a resonance phenomenon, but it's something related to resonance phenomena, so the name is not totally far-fetched either, resonance transfer. And that was circuits that operated simultaneously in continuous domain and in discrete domain. So this kind of equipment, in other words, is described by combination of differential equations and difference equations. And there was the question, how does one design filters for this kind of thing? So the whole filter theory was available for just continuous domain, but for a situation like this, you could not apply the standard results. And therefore, at this company in Antwerp, they asked me to join in. I was with the transmission lab and got, so to speak, a second assignment, not with the computer, like Belevich, but with the electronic switching for this resonant transfer. And then, so I developed Catamol at SDC, Catamol, I don't know if you know, it's Catamol here. There's a book on PCM by him, also an early book on transistors by Catamol. He's a very clever person. He had made a first theory of, so the others had invented, but their theory of the resonant transfer was not too deep, but Catamol had really a good theory, theoretical basis, and I started with Catamol's work to build a more complete theory of this resonant transfer circuit. That's what I used then later also for my doctoral work with Belevich, who was kind of an adjunct professor at Louvain University here, then let's say was the official advisor, although I have done the work 100% on my own, and I've seen Belevich only twice in the course, once to ask if that kind of subject would be acceptable, the second time when I had a number of results together and asked him if that was okay. I explained it for an hour to him, but he had not read my dissertation before I had officially submitted it. He had not even read it yet, and not even read it because he said just submit it. Doesn't have to read it beforehand and so on. So I mean, he has not been, he also has mentioned it always himself, he wasn't really advisor in a sense that he would have been discussing things with me. But that's not important. I appreciate him very highly. And also for the fact that he always immediately says, but it was only for a formal advisorship, not a real one. Anyhow, he, in this, but there came again this thing, so of course the passivity played a role again in this kind of circuits. And but in the meantime, they had been working very strongly in Antwerp, for instance, on these electronic switching systems, on this basis, also at Bell Labs, also here at Siemens in Munich and so on. But there was a major problem in it. The major problem was the cost for something one normally doesn't even think of. So the fact you had now pulses that were of the order of, let's say, 100 microseconds, right? So we used 10 kilohertz sampling frequency, others used 8 kilohertz sampling frequency. I think we used 8, doesn't matter. 8 or 10, some used 8, others used 10. But the pulse width was narrow, so you get really frequencies up to half a megahertz or something like this. And as you know, as you might know, one of the most critical things in telephone equipment is the crosstalk, to keep things confidential. You have what we call understandable crosstalk, at least, I don't know if that's the term they use in America, but that's understandable, what is it? Or non-understandable crosstalk, I'm not sure if the terminology is correct. Understandable crosstalk would be that you can really listen in and hear the other conversation. In this carrier telephone equipment, you have a crosstalk, but for instance, you have the spectrum reversed or something like this, then you cannot understand. So the requirements are not as severe, nor nearly as severe as for the understandable cost.
Yeah.
Understandable is really something you have to avoid, like anything, because then the telephone company cannot guarantee confidentiality of the conversation anymore. And here, all the everybody is in the same frequency range on in this plant in that switching equipment, and the couplings at this higher frequency end will produce such crosstalk, and you must have 80 decibels suppression, of course, of intelligible crosstalk suppression. And this they couldn't achieve, or achieve at most with extreme critical things. Anyhow, that is really what has stopped the development. They realized the only way to do such electronic switching in the time domain is the Go PCM.
Mm.
They had to wait until transistors were cheap enough to build
I see.
The PCM equipment, to build a PCM basis, and then it was the breakthrough for electronic time domain switching. I mean, they had the space domain or space multiplex, as they call it, just having the switches itself electronic, but not with any sampling process and so on. So they have the multiplexing in the time domain, which was important. That was really became feasible only through the PCM, but due to such secondary effect, which was considered secondary, but which is so fundamental in communications. And anyhow, for me, so I got this second approach with the resonant transfer. Now, the resonant transfer, I said difference equations in it, not only differential equations, but difference equations. And then somebody here at Siemens, Poschenrieder, who was also very famous, filter man at Siemens, but who moved higher up later. He was in the top management of Siemens, so one of those whose name was printed on the bottom of every sheet. He's probably the filter man who moved up highest in the hierarchical ladder of any company. And but he had realized in my theory, he had got a hold of my dissertation, and had realized that these equations I had were very similar to what, or practically identical, let's say identical, to what people used in microwave filtering, for microwave filtering purposes, and thus realized that this resonant transfer should be a way. There was an electronic way of doing it, equivalent electronic, instead of doing it passively, doing it electronically, was a way of using having filters, so electronic filters, that had a behavior, overall behavior, like a passive circuit. And here, so he published something, and I then published how you could do it even much better, more generally, and so on, how one could have such resonant transfer filters for doing normal filtering based on principles derived from these resonant transfer ideas, but mathematically equivalent to these transmission line filters that the microwave people used. And but of course, there was still all analog technology, and then came the digital filters. I may go on to this kind of thing, yeah? That's why I went to say hello to him this morning, because I knew there would be a problem of doing.
Okay.
Anyhow, it's and then he then came the digital filters, and I thought I really should learn something about digital filters.